Zephyrhien County School District Board. Let the record show that the quorum of members is present, and this meeting is due to being called according to the meeting, Open Meeting Act, State 551. All right, roll call.
Tori McLean.
Here.
Joe Thomas.
Here.
Janet Primo's here. John Rockefeller.
Here.
Reed Hood.
Present.
John Moody is absent, and April Reedy.
Yep.
God, we thank you for the day. We thank you for blessing us with the rain that we've received. We thank you for this time together and for this meal that we've had. We pray that you would guide and direct our thoughts and our actions tonight. And we just ask that you would be with the teachers and administrators, kiddos at this school. Help us to follow you in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible. Consider approval for the board minutes held on October 23rd. Motion made by Reed and second by Tori to approve minutes from October 23rd as presented. All those in favor? All those opposed? Pay bills. Come on, Pen.
DOT comes in and they make us do the P-test.
Okay.
They randomly come do it ever so often.
I see.
The washing machines that don't have to have a drain.
Mm-hmm. That first one, they liked it. It went well, so we put another one in that portable weight room building, one in each closet that was in there, and they just go over there and take it all over there and put it in one fell swoop, do the whole thing. And that way it washes it and dries it, and they don't have to go back and change it out. Since they all live in May blanket, nobody lives here other than part of it. Helped them out, and they liked it.
I've never heard of that.
It doesn't have to. Well, it kind of scared me. We tried one and did it for about 2 or 3 weeks. I'm like, it doesn't have a vent. It's ventless. So it keeps all that lint. You got to pull this big, long thing out and take it all off.
Wow.
I was like, that's a fire hazard if you don't do it right. But if the first one went good, so we went ahead and tried another one.
Hmm. What's it do with the moisture if they got a vent?
I don't know. I think that's why one of the complaints on it was it takes too long to dry. But if you're not worried about going back out there, it doesn't matter if it takes 2 hours, 3 hours. You just don't have to go start it, swap it, get it out.
That may be the reason behind the vastly improved smell of the boys' locker room. Without having all their stuff in there.
Yeah. Might be.
Because I've walked in it sometimes before and just, gosh. I went in there one time this year to use the restroom and, wow.
Wasn't too bad.
It's almost pleasant.
You know, it still just amazes me. Here I'm dating myself, but, you know, when I was even in junior high in PE, and that before we even got into football and athletics, you were made to take a shower. Mm-hmm. You took a shower and before you came back out, period. You were supplied a towel the whole 9 yards, except for in high school. Then they made us keep our own towels. But other than that, they don't do that anymore. So you get some nice aromas.
When y'all took showers, was it the one where it had the big old post and just had the shower heads coming off and everybody was on one post?
No, it just had, it's like a prison wall.
That's what they had. They had those at Steel Junior High when I was there, and we had to sit there and watch them because they'd go jacking around.
Yeah. Well, I can't say I didn't get in trouble.
Popping each other with a towel?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I got caught.
We took turns. That was back when they had newspapers, you know, so somebody sitting there on the chair and read the newspaper while you made sure kids didn't pop each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I popped a towel one time, and I don't, still to this day, I don't know how the coach saw me because he was somewhere else.
Yeah.
He a Rockefeller! Come here! I had just got out of the shower. He took me to the other side. We had a bench where, you know, everybody got ready or sat or whatever on both sides. He told me, had me bend over. I wanted to have a towel on there. He said, take that towel off. He touched my hair butt three times and knocked me over the bench. I mean, I never popped a towel the day of my life after that. God, he wore me out.
We're on the minutes or the checks?
Checks.
We're on the checks.
Checks.
Okay,
is this... Did everything look all right?
Is something right?
No, it's not right. I did not.
Okay.
That part I did not change. So
all right.
We got a motion made by Tori and a second by Reed to approve the checks of paying the bills as presented. Starting with check number 11-323 and ending with... 11-416, is that correct? With no voids?
That is correct.
All right. All those in favor? All those opposed? Rock. All right. Consider 24-25 audit by Mr. Gully.
Just some housekeeping stuff to start. And Stanton may have already told you all this, that the state has kind of messed things up for audit this year in that we can't submit your audit yet. Last year they had a portal that they've been using for years to submit the audits online. They said, you know, this portal is getting too old and we want to replace it with something new and more robust, which looks more 21st century. And they took it down after last year's audits were finished. And about a month ago, they sent a letter out to the administrator saying, we don't have an operational replacement portal yet. And I knew the backstory before this letter came out. They have been struggling big time with getting this portal working. And they finally admitted that we didn't have it working in this letter. It's kind of a bland letter, actually, but I knew the backstory that it was a lot more difficult than they led on that it was going to be. And they probably won't have a working portal until sometime in, they say January, I believe when I see it, because it's not working yet. And so as a result, they've pushed the deadline for audits to be the end of February instead of the end of January.
That's right.
And so we, as soon as they get an operational portal, we'll start submitting audits, but it probably won't be until well after the January original deadline. And so maybe February, maybe March, we don't know. And we don't even know what it's going to look like. Mm-hmm. We have no clue. But we do. All I do know is there's going to be a lot more things to submit and a lot more data to submit than we've had to do previously. So it won't be like check a couple of boxes and you're done, like it's been years past. But again, I don't know
so
how
the portal
it's going
to replace is a little calculator report.
That's gone. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, as a result, we'll approve the audit tonight, but then after tonight, we'll just sit on it until we get the green light from TA that they've got all the bugs and kinks worked out of their new system that doesn't work yet.
Somebody won't put any money on it that when they first open it up and get it going, it'll collapse.
There will be bugs.
Yeah.
There will be bugs.
Knowing the state, it's like, well, you
it's
do
just,
too.
It's just crazy. When they rolled out the new PIMS data standards a year and a half ago, that was a nightmare. And it took months for them to get all that squared away and fixed before it really became operational. We'll start on page 14. This will be the income statement, Exhibit C3. And the first column is going to be the general fund. And then all your other funds, including your debt service fund, will be in the second column, and we'll look at the detail of those other funds individually in just a minute. But the third last line item in that first column is the general fund surplus or deficit, and you can see in line 1200 of the first column, the general fund had a surplus of $125,000. And you kind of take into consideration what went into making that surplus be what it is. Y'all sold the building that y'all co-opted with Blanket. I know that just y'all and Blanket that shared the cost of that building that sold. And
we sold the one. No, that was the one with we had two buildings in a co-op, mm-hmm. especially a co-op, the financial co-op. So that's the building that was the one with us, Early Banks.
Anyway, that building sale, y'all's portion of it was about $70,000. And so when you look in line 7912, you can see $72,837. About 70 of that was that y'all's share of that building. And so that is what contributed to a big part of the surplus. What took away from the surplus was the facilities additions that y'all did, but mainly the field house or the weight room, and that was about $95,000 in total in what y'all spent in function 81 and some also in function 51 related to the cost of that. And so y'all really had a pretty good year when you take into consideration removing the one-time sale of that one asset that's not really school business related to your state and local funding, but also what y'all did capitalizing expenditures that were one-time in nature that would have taken away from your fund balance. So y'all had a good year. And you hold your finger at 14 and look to page 8, you can see the assets that were added this year, the biggest of which were the buses that y'all bought. Y'all bought three buses that were for a little over $400,000 in the table right there on page 8 in the middle of the page, of which the state covered the cost of those, and so the total cost that the state covered was not 100%. I have to cheat and look in the footnotes because I can't remember how much it was. I want to say about 330.
Yeah, something like
that. 296 is what the state's cost was. That's in footnote T on page 41. And so y'all got about 75% cost share that the state paid for those buses. That was the rest of was paid for out of the general fund. So you can say $100,000 there is one-time expense. You can run your finger down to the weight room. That was $98,000, including all the plumbing, the septic system, the air conditioning that went there, the and the septic system, which was an additional 10. And then the campus Wi-Fi extender equipment, that was also paid for out of general fund monies. And so you look at $100,000 for the buses, another $110,000 for the weight room, and then $25,000 for the Wi-Fi extender, all paid for out of general fund activities. The general fund had a really good year this year, even taking away the sale of the building in Brownwood. So end of year on page 14, again, the last row in that first column, your ending fund balance is now over $2 million. It's $2,061,000 as of the end of the year. Looking at your other funds, if you hold your finger at page 14 and then flip towards the back to Exhibit H2 on pages 53 and 54, this will be the income statement of all the smaller funds that make up the total of that other column. A couple of funds that, you know, still have some fund balance with them. One of them is your food service fund. The food service fund is still operating in the black because of the supplemental TDA grant that you're getting. But you can see in the second column on page 53 is the food service fund, and the third to last line item is the surplus for the year, of which it had a $27,000 surplus. The general fund didn't have to kick in any money to keep it whole, and its ending fund balance as the end of the year is the last line on the second column of $67,000. The debt service fund is going to be in the last column on page 54, and it also operated in the black this year, had a surplus of $37,000 and an ending fund balance of $259,000. And so you've paid down $175,000 in principal on your bonds, plus $92,000 in interest, and still ended up with a surplus of $37,000. And the surplus was driven by, if you go further back another couple of pages, to page 56 and 57, is due to your valuations. Your values on page 56, the last column, they increased from $79 to $82 million. And of course, you had your tax rate that was roughly the same as it was last year on the INS. And so that increase in values just drove higher tax revenues because your rate was the same. And so that's why you had the surplus in the INS fund. Plus, you had a little bit of state subsidy payments in the INS fund that was not fully budgeted for. You had more in state aid relative to the EDA and IFA allotment revenue than was budgeted. So the debt service fund had a pretty substantial fund balance surplus relative to its ending fund balance. On page 57 again, you can see your levy and your collections between M&O and INS. Your levy for this year was $767,000. Your M&O collections of that levy were $571,000. And your debt service portion of that levy was $193,000. So y'all had, you know, a great collection year. Your ending delinquent balances at the end of the year are $38,000 versus $45,000 with what they were at the beginning of the year. So you had roughly 100% collection based upon that levy. So your collection rate was really strong this year. Looking at how you did relative to budget, if you look on page 44 of Exhibit G1, you'll see the general fund's budget comparison schedule. And you did really well relative to budget, just like the bottom line fund balance was. Your revenues came in over budget by about $70,000. You can see on line 5020, and that towards the top in the last column, $70,000 positive variance to budget. Basically in state revenues, in part because of that
the building
in part. Well, no, your building's down here in line 7912. I have to look at my sheet notes remember why. Like I said, all my numbers are running together in my head now. It's like, let's see. Your mandated program revenues were a little bit higher, but also your ADA numbers were higher this year. I forgot about that. If you look back to page 7, you'll see your ADA and your state funding in that top chart on page 7. Your ADA came up, which generated more earned state foundation revenue this year than what y'all earned last. That was more than what y'all had budgeted to receive, because y'all budget conservatively on your ADA numbers, and your ADA numbers actually came in higher than what y'all had in your template as far as budgeting goes. Plus also your available school fund money, which is the rainy day money that you get from the state, that money was higher by quite a bit this year than it was last year. And so when you look back on page 44 to line 5800, that's why you had $163,000 more in state revenues than what you had budgeted for. On the federal revenues, in the general fund were less than budget, only because your SHARS revenues, those numbers are kind of drying up. Mm-hmm. You're not getting near the SHARS monies you used to get. And if you do get a big SHARS check, generally a few years into the future, they'll say, hey, send that back. You weren't supposed to have gotten that much. And so those SHARS dollars have a lot of clawback with them. But that's and the big revenues item in that federal revenue line item in line 5900 in the actual number column is going to be the bus grant, because that was considered federal grant revenue. And again, that was $296,000 of that $301,000 number. Y'all really had about $30,000 budgeted for SHARS, and then y'all upped that by another $30,000 for your final amended budget amendments. On expenditures, you can see your total expenditures in line 6030. The last column came in under budget in total by $131,000. And you can see there's not really any major line item in function that came in a lot under budget. It was just in total. You can see all functions came in under budget to a small degree. The biggest was in student transportation, where those numbers weren't as high as what you had budgeted, primarily because you got rid of your old buses and you have those new buses, and so your repair and maintenance costs were less this year than what they had been in years past. And then line 7912 is again the sale of that building plus sale of y'all's old buses that were replaced by the new ones. And that wasn't budgeted at all. You know, I got $72,000 in total with the combination of those. About $2,800 for the old buses, and then including some other junk items, and then as well as the $69,000 you got for the sale of the real estate. So you had a budgeted fund balance at the end of the year, $1.7 million in actual fund balance, a little over $2,061,000. And then J2 and J3 on page 58 and 59 is going to be the other required budget schedules. Page 58 is the budget schedule for the food service fund. And just like the general fund, y'all came in under budget on expenditures and over budget significantly so on revenue. You had $42,000 more in revenue, primarily in local food sales, which was $21,000 more than budget. And then on federal revenue was the TDA supplemental grant that y'all got, which was about $20,000 of additional subsidy grant. That's, you know, kind of a one-off type grant, and that's really what drove the surplus, because it was about almost the amount of the surplus, and it's included in line 5900, and that's why your budget surplus was there in that line item. And then the next page on 59 is the debt service fund budget comparison schedule. And again, your revenues were more than budget, again, because your property values being higher and your tax rate being the same. And then, again, earning more in the EDA and IFA allotment revenue from the state than what you had budgeted to earn. You see expenditures. Your expenditures went over budget on this one because the interest on line 72 was not budgeted fully what it was. I don't know if y'all missed it because of the IRS subsidy that goes to the general fund debt. But anyway, there's a negative budget variance there in line 72 for $4,100, and that's number there. But you can see the surplus was $37,000 versus the break-even budget there. The other items to look at, if you look back to page 12, look at the balance sheet back quick, and that's going to show your liquidity at end of year. You still had a lot of money owed to you by the state. Y'all were settled up in September. And so when you look at your fund balance on line 3000 in the first column, your fund balance is $2,061,000. But you run your finger up to the top of that column to line 1110, and your cash balances were significantly lower than that. And the reason was because TDA still owed y'all a lot of money at the end of August that they paid y'all at the end of September. So as of the end of September, those numbers kind of leveled out because it was almost 300,000 that y'all got settled up in September. Second column is going to be your other funds again. That's going to be mostly your debt service fund and then your campus activity funds. Cash balance is a total there of $350,000, which does pretty much correlate to your fund balance of $93,000 in that column. You don't really have many outstanding liabilities. The only major outstanding liability was just accrued payroll, line 2160, which is going to be the payroll for your staff for days that they worked in August on their new contracts, but they don't get their first paychecks on the new contracts until September. So you have to accrue the liability for those employee days worked in August, and that number is pretty much comparable to what it was last year, too, $172,000 this year. And it was relatively that number last year, too. Some of the other items to look at, if you look in your local revenues, page 40, you'll see some of your local revenue sources other than taxes. And one item, the biggest item other than property taxes, are going to be your extracurricular activities of the general fund, which is going to be athletic revenues. And for y'all's school size, y'all get a ton of athletic revenue. Most schools y'all size don't get $52,000 in extracurricular activities like y'all do. But you can see that in the general fund column under extracurricular student activities. And then the $56,000 in the other fund column is the campus fundraising activities relative to the campus activity fund 461. In food sales was $81,000, and again that's in fund 240, the cafeteria fund. Investment income is the other one that's a significant amount, which was $100,000, $86,000 which was general fund, and $13,000 of that is in the debt service fund and also in the campus activity fund. But that number, while it's been growing and growing the last few years, is going to start trending the other direction because of interest rates starting to come down. And we'll see interest rates probably level off at about 3%. Right now, they're probably about 3.85, I would guess, is what y'all's investment pool account is, if it's not a little bit lower than that.
What do you think it'll level off at?
At about 3. It's where I think it will end up when all the easing of Fed funds rates stop, which is a whole lot higher than it was pre-COVID.
Oh, yeah.
When interest rates were at 0.25%. So at 3%, that's still a pretty reasonable rate of return. So you'll probably end up, on average, going forward, having about $75,000 of interest income, assuming your cash balances maintain the same level.
Yeah.
So, and that's pretty good, because they'll subsidize your budget quite a bit going forward. There on footnote T, you can see the federal revenues. And again, in footnote T, on page 41, you can see the amount of money that was reimbursed to y'all. For the buses, it was not $296,000, and a little bit of Shar's money that you got this year was only $5,700, which again is a lot less than what y'all had been getting in years past. But I wouldn't expect that number to continue.
We completely got out of it.
Yeah. Oh, so you're not going to get any more. It's not worth it.
Yeah.
It's really not worth it because you have to do so much work for so little benefit. And then again, after a few years, they'll say, "Oh, we didn't. You didn't really earn all that. You need to send it back to us."
Yeah, they may audit you 3 years back.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
That's crazy.
So, and so, what else to show y'all on your audit? Your debt activity. If you look on page 29, your long-term debt activity, you can see how much was paid down on your debt. Now, the two maintenance tax notes and the property finance contract, those will both pay off this year. And so you'll have this year as the final payment for both of those notes in footnote G. There are $54,000 and $45,000, respectively, on the outstanding balances. So after this year, those won't hit your general fund budget any longer.
So you gained about $100,000.
Yeah.
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 Cool.
Plus the interest that you're paying, of which most of that's subsidized, that you get IRS subsidy payment back on. So that'll be $100,000 for sure that you'll free up to your general fund budget going forward after this year. There's a very minor budget variance compliance required disclosure on page 64. Because your function 72 on your required budget schedule for your debt service fund did go over budget, you have to note it as a finding. And so on 64, you know, because of the Texas Education Code 44.006, you're not supposed to have budget overages, regardless of whether it's a dollar or $100,000. And so that's a finding. It's not going to be, it's not considered a material finding. It's not going to impact your birth rate, but it's required to be disclosed. And so that's the amount that it went
over. Kim, is that going to be function 72 or is it 71?
It's 72 on the audit.
It's 71 on the general ledger. Okay. All right.
Yes. But for audit purposes, it's function 72. Because 71 is principal, 72 is interest, and 73 are fees.
Okay.
So, but anyway, that one impacts first, but it is disclosed as a finding. And so when you look at the internal control and compliance letter on page 62, you'll see in the compliance section where it does disclose that item number in item 25-1 in the last line in that next to last paragraph, and that's what that is. Other than that, you know, it was a really clean audit. Y'all had a really good year financially and things. The lady at the service center in Region 15, she's much better than the help y'all used to have.
And that poor lady's been through the ringer.
Has she really?
Well, she got pregnant, and then she had complications, had the baby in September, was trying to get everything done, sewed up, and then when she had the baby, I think she had an enlarged heart, and so she had to go past her six-week term. She just got back like a week or two ago.
Really?
She's great, but she's been in all that, doing some college work and having a baby, and it's just, but she's good. Yeah. She just,
obviously.
She's been busy.
Yeah, but the gentleman that y'all did have, that I'm not going to name his name because I don't want to, you know, throw any more dirt on him than what he already had. He just kind of didn't understand all the bookkeeping aspect of it. You know, he was kind of in over his head, and y'all kind of paid the price for that for a little bit of time until I kind of contacted Region 15 and said, "Hey, are y'all watching what this guy's doing? Because he's making a big mess of things."
Right.
And so then that's when I got Lindsay after that. And
she's good.
She's done a much better job of maintaining y'all's books and keeping them clean for y'all.
Good. So, good.
That's your audit for another year.
Right. Good job, Sam. You're the big contributor of all that.
Yeah, I mean,
you keep your ADA around 200, you're good anyway. That's the key. Put rear end in seats.
Good job. That's all I
need. Do we need to sign one of these? Something. Okay.
But you can look at your fund balance. I think it's kind of important to note on page 7 the middle chart there on page 7, you can see that black line is your fund balance and how it's trended for the last 5 years. And you can see the green and red bars are your revenues and expenditures. And you can, and that black line at in 2025 is slightly more than 6 months operating expenditures. So you've got a really good fund balance now.
Maybe
between
the buses and my buildings last year, we did quite a bit.
Yes, y'all did.
There's a lot for a
enormous amount of stuff that y'all, it was non-bonded, you know, expenditures that, you know, most schools y'all size only spend that kind of money if they're spending bond
money.
Or if they had one of those M&O tax notes that we're getting rid of.
Anyway, so as a result, y'all's fund balance is in really good shape.
Good deal.
Thank you.
Thank y'all.
All on you. The good and the bad.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I make a motion.
Second.
Got a motion made by Jan and a second by Tori to approve the audit as presented. All those in favor? What did I say? Did I say something back?
He said Tori. That was Joe.
Oh, was it Joe? I thought it was Tori. I'm sorry.
We both did.
I saw him raise his hand.
No, I just heard Joe.
Oh, okay. So, motion made by Jan and a second by Joe.
Okay. I'll put that one up.
As presented. All those in favor? All those opposed?
Well, thank y'all again. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate y'all very much.
Y'all have a happy Thanksgiving.
Me too.
Yeah, and Christmas.
Yeah.
Coming right around the corner.
So, yeah, I'm going to head out and hit the road and
So you can get back at a decent hour and be able to go.
Try not to hit a deer.
Yeah.
Try not to hit a deer. Or a pig. These days, pigs are getting to be a real issue.
I've seen three. Between last night and tonight's driving, I've seen three, but they went on the road.
How do you usually go back?
I just go 183 back
home. Oh, D. Okay. That's not as bad.
No.
But if you went back up 16, now that'd be a different story.
Yeah, that would definitely be a different story.
Yeah. All right. Appreciate you. Thank you very much. Enjoy. We'll see you next year.
All right. See y'all.
Take care.
Bye. Okay. Before we get going, I missed it. For the minutes, who made a motion on that one? Reed and Tori?
Yeah.
Who did the bills?
On the one before you mentioned.
I think they did it also.
Okay. Maybe that's why.
Oh, excuse me.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah, because he didn't have the right numbers in here.
What are you on?
So the transfers.
All right. So, consider transfer for 25-26 school year.
Got one, Ashlyn Fagan, which is, she's a fourth grader. You know, Aaron Fagan, our senior. Great family, good family. I think she's going to be just fine. She's been homeschooled. And they came up and toured this Monday and started looking at campus. And I just really like what we have going on here. I think she's a good addition. They're a good family.
Okay, good. All right, got a motion made by Jana and a second by Joe to approve the transfers as presented. All those favor? All those opposed?
All right.
Board report.
You can look through it. I didn't glance at it much. We're only in, what, November, so surely we shouldn't be over on anything or in bad shape. So it's too early to have anything that would be bad or need to make any amendments, but I think everything's probably on schedule.
Yep, 20-30%. Some of them in the teams. Yep. I'll give you a motion.
Got a motion made by Reed and second by Tori to approve the board report as presented. All those in favor? All those opposed?
All right.
Consider waiver for the summer feeding program.
So schools can do a summer feeding program. We contacted Brownwood, and because most of our kids live in Brownwood, it would be crazy to probably run a feeding program and bring our lunch ladies up. And they said we could apply for a waiver and put them as our summer feeding program. So that's why I put it on there for you to approve it. We've already contacted them, said they were good with us marking them down instead of my lunch ladies coming up and doing that in the summer. So I just needed approval to do that.
A motion made by Joe and a second by Tori to approve the
summer feeding
program. All those in favor? All those opposed?
All right.
All right, consider targeted improvement plan.
So 2 years ago, our CCMR score was low and it caused a trigger on something. And we fixed it since then. But even though we got out of it and our scores were good last year, you still have to do a two-year plan. I didn't print the plan off to bring it to you because I've been working with the service center on it, and we're going to submit it tomorrow after the board meeting. And so I basically just need you to approve the plan that I've worked with for them to correct something that technically we've already corrected. Like, we were already in the right direction. They just make you do it for 2 years.
Oh.
It was CCMR, College Career Military Readiness. We needed a higher number in that area, and that's what deemed us in our socioeconomic group. Your title on the kids.
Got a motion made by Tori and a second by Reed to approve the targeted improvement plan. All those in favor? All those opposed? All right. Consider LASO grant to implement math curriculum.
We've already implemented Bluebonnet Math. We started this year with a small portion of the grant for K through 5. It's a curriculum put out by the state. They give you the workbooks. They do everything. Coach Wall's been working with the teachers. He's already seen some growth in it. They were a little concerned with it, but they actually I don't really like it, but they kind of bought into it, and they feel like it's benefiting the kids. So we can do it K-8, and you can get a $200,000 grant instead of the $60,000 that we were getting this year, or $120,000. So we get $100,000, the service center gets $100,000, and we can use that to give the teachers stipends and continue to give them more help in their classrooms to help them implement this. So
it's
kind of a no-brainer.
Are they able to? So that's their main curriculum is the Blue Bonnet. They can supplement if they need to. With
there's really not much need to as far as supplementing. I mean, they can. They use IXL to help, work towards it. It also ties into the Blue Bonnet. But I haven't seen any of them so far that's needed any supplemental because the way it's set up, it's. I mean, they got these kids working bell and bell. It's going to be tough to get all of it in as it is. So.
Is there much homework?
There's some, but it's more for practice than it is for grade, I guess, if that makes sense. They got a workbook that they send home to the parents as well, if they can kind of look at it and see.
It's kind of like in the old days when you had your math and they had the Saxon math book, and the teachers were like, hey, do the odds or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
If you got 50 questions, they could say, hey, do the odds or do the even. And you don't have to, because like he said, it might be double-digit multiplication, there's 50 questions, and the teacher's going to say, hey, do these 20, just so I know you got it, instead of doing it just a lot of
answers to the odds or the equals.
The Saxon book, yeah. That's why our teacher gave it to us. I like the little Saxon book.
It helped you figure them out in between them.
Yeah.
It was actually a very good idea.
Yeah.
I've heard good things and I've heard bad things, but I've never used it.
We heard a lot of the bad, and the teachers were scared, and so that was one of the reasons we hired the person to go in the classroom or watch the kids on the recess.
Yeah.
The teachers can stay in there and work on their stuff.
Yeah.
And now that they've got it, they don't need it all the time, so we can move that person some other places, but they can still utilize it when needed. So basically, you have two conferences to help implement it.
Right.
And we would probably do something along the same lines next year when we go K-8 instead of just K-5.
It's still just math?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we hadn't gotten to the reading yet.
Got a motion made by Jana and a second by Joe to approve the LASO grant to implement the math curriculum. All those in favor? All those opposed? All right. Special education RDA data.
You can look at that little sheet I gave you, and the three things at the bottom are probably the most important, where it says meets requirement, meets requirement, meets requirement. And so we went over this at our special ed co-op meeting the other day, and there's a battery of tests they do on your special ed department to see if you meet the standards that the TEA wants you to meet, and we met them. And so I just needed to review them with you so you could see them and say, hey, we're doing what's appropriate in our special ed department. And so I guess RDA stood for results-driven accountability.
All right. A motion made by Reed and a second by Tori to approve the special education RDA data as presented. All those in favor? All those opposed? All right, discuss school safety and facilities.
Wade and I are working on some stuff. He ordered the, because you have to have at least one shield. We got a shield. We've got some door situations we fixed. And then,
what did y'all get the breaking bar and the sledgehammer for? Security.
It said you need those in case, like the Uvalde deal, where if you go in there and you got to break into a door, you can use them to bust the door in.
You got a shield? Mm-hmm. Did you get one from Greg?
Mm-hmm. No, he ordered one online, like for $500 or something. Oh, man. He's got to have one.
I get a percentage off of Greg's.
How much you get?
I don't know. He told me he'd give me a percentage.
Greg's out anyway. Greg's. Almost died like twice.
He's
done the cancer. No, when this guy did it, according to Sentinel or the government, you got to have at least one on campus. So we got at least one just to make sure we met code. And we'll go from there. I haven't seen it, but Wade had it. And so what happens in Sentinel when they say you don't have this, Wade and I are correcting all these things, and then you take a picture of it, you upload it to the Sentinel, and the guy that does the audit on the security says, yep, you're good, check, check, check. And so, like we had the window film put on these windows, and at some point I got to come in here and we bought some caulk, and I have to caulk around those because you have to have the silicone caulk around it to hold that film to the door. Otherwise, somebody could just take their butt of their gun, hit the window, the film and the window just pop out. You got to make the film basically attached to the door or window frame. So you got to put a certain bead all the way around. So I told Wade, the company that did it for us this summer, I don't know that they realized exactly what they were doing. They did the film, but they just didn't put the caulk. And it's really pretty simple. We watched a YouTube video, put some blue painter tape, run you a bead, run your finger, let it dry for 24 hours, and it's good. So we ordered everything. I just haven't had time to do it yet. Might be a Thanksgiving break deal. I'll do it while I got some time.
Is it next week?
Yeah.
What is the shield? Is it the?
It's like a ballistic shield that you can hold up so that you can basically hold it up.
Do all those shields have some kind of caliber rating or something like that? Does it tell you?
That's all that.
I mean, since you ordered it online, I mean, I'm being a little skeptical.
The one Scotty had in his truck that day, I picked it up. Those things are heavy. Yeah. You got to be pretty stout. I mean, they're not light.
Level 4 and 4A is rated for rifle. The 308, 7.62x51, and 7.62x54 are armor piercing.
Really?
So most of them are, yeah. But
if you got hit with those armor piercing bullets,
how many people
with that shield, I bet that would knock your butt back too. Yeah.
How many people are going to have stuff like that?
Right. Or 308 even.
Yeah, that's the problem. They don't think they know if a 22 Creedmoor, if it'll stop one of those or not. Or I've got a 17 Stinger that would probably go through it.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Huh, because it's so fast.
If I had the right bullet, I could probably get it to go through it. Because it's going at almost 6,000 feet per second.
Cool. That's fast.
Yeah. I'll be interested to see it. I'll see what y'all got.
You shoot something with that thing. They'll be dead for 15 minutes before they figure it out.
No, that was one audit for security. There's another audit for security somewhere in January. There are two different types of audits. One of them is an audit to make sure you have everything in Sentinel, which is what the governor put out a few years ago and said all school districts have to have all this on an online portal. And so Wade has access to the portal, and for example, you got to put in all your door checks. And so every week Scotty's here, he does his door check, he checks it off, gives it to Wade. Wade uploads it in the portal, showing that we're doing it weekly. And the door check has caught some things. I mean, we had to fix this door, we had to fix one elementary. You know, he might catch some stuff on doors that you just never check, especially like on the back of the gym and different places that you wouldn't look at. So it's been beneficial, but... Yeah, that one was an audit based on that portal to make sure you have everything in there correctly. The next one will be an audit on basically the physical part of the school. And so that one will be in January. Okay. And then we'll have to report that to the board.
Okay.
So.
All right.
Our, pull this up real quick. I saw this the other day. Got pushed down to the bottom of my email. Felicia and who was the other one? Lacey? Are they still going to do their LTC?
I need to ask them.
Because they signed up for it April of 2024. So April of next year, it's going to expire.
Okay.
And if they wanted to do it, they'd have to pay again.
I'll mention it to them. I think it was them, those two, Blake and Carnes, right?
Yeah, everybody else had already done it.
Okay. Carnes did hers? Young Carnes?
Maybe she never even signed up, I don't guess.
Did she not?
I don't think so. I'd have to look at my website and see.
Carnes was wanting to do it.
But I got every time somebody signs up for it, I get an email saying they made an order, and I've got those two, and I saved them.
Lacey, Felicia. I'll ask Carnes, too. All right.
school pay? Did we pay for that school, or did they pay?
I think we may have. Sorry, they're going to do that.
Yeah. You know, they're committed.
They're in. Yep.
All right. Anything else? All right. We need to go into the closed session by anything?
And if y'all want anything on other on the other things,
I'm all extracurricular.
Yeah, we can. I would say yes.
Do you want that close? Yeah. You want a close session?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. All right. Give me a real deal.
Oh, sorry.
8:05. All right. What time is it?
8:05.
8:05. This board will now adjourn into executive session pursuant to the following section of the Texas Open Meetings Act, 551. Let's just go over to the board. Done with it.